Hello and welcome to the Saxo market call on Thursday, the 20th of January, 2022. And there's a lot of action in the markets for sure. We see it across equities, commodities, interest rates. We had a little bit more, you know, sideways trading yesterday in US 10-year yield and a little bit more volatility, but the NASDAQ 100 futures, as you can see on slide two, were really heavy. We didn't touch the 200-day moving average. We did that today in early trading, and we have bounced back from that 200-day moving average, but I still think that that's a pretty critical line in the sand. As I said yesterday, a lot of retail investors are participating in technology stocks, and they look at simple indicators, and we have a lot of newcomers in the market. They have probably never been below such a long-term trend line. We haven't been below this one since April 2020. So I still see that as a major thing. When you look at this chart, if we break below the 200-day moving average, it wouldn't be outrageous to think that we could go down and test the 14,500. The high interest rate obviously is impacting these high duration assets, and but even more importantly, it is the entire inflation picture that is the critical here. It's very obvious that the Fed is getting nervous, and Goldman Sachs earnings really showed that there's a lot of wage pressure. And I think the CEO Solomon was out saying that the wage pressures are everywhere. And we got the unemployment rate from Australia out overnight, and it's now the lowest since it's just before the Great Financial Crisis. So it's also potentially adding more pressure to that part of the world. And before we go to you, Ole, just quickly highlighting on slide three, the Hang Seng index or index futures were up 3.5%. Now one of the best performing markets this year, up almost 7%. We got a second rate cut from the People's Bank of China. They're definitely moving to an easing stance. It's very clear from the recent communication and language that they feel the heat, given that the US has pivoted so massively in December and is clearly on a tightening trajectory, with financial conditions tightening and with China, you know, facing these stresses in their real estate sector. I think there was comments out saying that it's now official that the construction sector is in a recession, with GDP in the construction sector quarter on quarter for two straight quarters was negative. That's the first time since 1994. So we can expect more easing and stimulus coming from China, and that's of course supporting the Hang Seng. But Ole, we need to talk about inflation, and that's where the commodities come into the picture. I just saw that the Bloomberg commodity spot index were now touching the highest level since early 2014. So a lot of action. But you're zooming in on silver and platinum this morning here on slide four.
I do indeed, Peter. But I think also we should just use the segue from China just to start up on slide five, industrial metals, because we've seen quite a decent or significant rally again during the past 48 hours here, especially in nickel. As you can see, nickel so far year to date is up by more than 15%. Yesterday we saw copper, as you can see on the chart, return back above that 450 area where we had the failed breakout last week. Currently just trading around that level, and it is the prospect for renewed Chinese action to support the economy that's adding some additional input to these markets. Supply is already tight. The LME exchange in London, where we got the five major industrial metals trading, they are all trading in backwardation, basically a curve structure signaling tight market supply. It's a condition. So we're having China trying to revving up its support for the economy, undoubtedly going to require industrial metals of many different colors, and at a time where we already have tight supply. So industrial metals, just like crude oil, is a sector which is seeing some firm price action. Same thing, as you mentioned, can be seen in the semi-precious silver and platinum has been moving higher, thereby at this stage outperforming gold so far this year. We had platinum up around 7% so far yesterday. It saw quite a big jump yesterday with a discount to gold dropping back below $800. But the silver one is really the one that's doing the the pulling right now, and that was really enough for to push gold through 1830, the level that we've been looking at now for quite a while. It broke above. We're trading 1840 this morning, and it's coming at a time where we just had this phenomenal rally in U.S. real yields. Again, I use this chart on a regular basis, but this is quite an incredible chart on the right there on slide 4. Real yields just tanking on this chart, but obviously you're searching because it's inverted, and gold holding on to a surplus or plus on the year. This is just indicating that the market is worried about inflation. There are some geopolitical concerns, and they also worry about that increased volatility we're seeing in your part of the world, Peter, through the stock market.
Yeah, there is a lot of there's a lot of worries in equities, but before we talk a little bit more about equities, I think we should also talk about the German PPI that we got in this morning.
Yeah, oh boy.
You highlighted it on slide 6. It's a pretty amazing numbers, to say the least, right? So we have a PPI printing 24.2, and obviously it's driven a lot by the underlying explosion in electricity, mining cost, and energy, as you can see. You've highlighted that. So hopefully, Ole, can you inspire people with some positive news? I mean, what is the outlook for electricity? How are we progressing? We still have around 2 months where we will draw on our storage capacity on natural gas here in Europe, I suppose.
Indeed. Well, I suppose I don't have to be a rocket scientist to promise you that the PPI would be lower in January, because just looking at the chart, we did see some dramatic peaks in gas and electricity prices just around Christmas. Since then, as you can see on the lower slides, Russia is obviously not helping right now. Plenty of reasons for that, which we all I'm sure familiar with. One of them is called Ukraine. But what has really been supporting prices on the downward move recently has been this surge in LNG arrivals, and now recently there's also reports that China is actually awash with LNG. They the large state-owned company have been offering tenders, basically reselling some of the LNG and obviously the destination for that gas is likely to be Europe. So expectations for continued strong arrivals of LNG, basically putting some downward pressure on the price. Right now in Europe, we're trading around 70 euros per megawatt. It's the lowest levels we've seen since November. But as you can also see on the chart, we're still way above the long-term average. So these prices are still punitively, and as you mentioned, Peter, before we got on the call, how much of these input prices are being passed on to consumers? Are we going to see that happening on an increased scale over the coming months? I believe they will. Just take a look at the UK. Gas prices by government decree are locked on a 6 months basis. That basically means when we come into March, there'll be some absolutely horrendous significant increase in gas bills across the UK, which will have a negative impact on consumers' sentiment, I would say, and consumer spending, unless government step in with some kind of support for people suffering the most.
Yeah, so that's the big question, right? Last week we had that news on EDF, the state majority controlled utility company in France. You know, the French government said that the electricity bills couldn't rise more than 4% this year. So you take the bill, and I suppose to a large extent, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see policies like the French policy being carried out in other countries. Potentially, the UK could be more reluctant. They have a stronger bias towards, you know, free markets at all costs, but there is also voters to think about, and it's not like it's going splendidly for Boris Johnson. So maybe he could throw in some populist moves here on the electricity bills. Who knows? But it's a punitively high prices, and it is potentially something where we could see other governments move. Talking about the passing on inflation, Ole, on slide 7, on the different stocks to watch, we had Procter & Gamble reporting earnings yesterday. Excuse me. So they reported their Q2 earnings, which ended in December, and they showed a 2 percentage point higher organic growth rate year on year. And they had a remarkable ability to defend their margins. So I think this is another testimony of what we have talked so much about on this podcast, that, you know, the mega caps, it's a very strong theme. So, I mean, you can get the inflation protection in energy and commodity stocks in general, but you can also achieve some inflation protection in these mega cap companies. We should probably highlight as well Deliveroo, which is one of the big technology names out of the London Stock Exchange. As you can see, the year hasn't been a very pleasant ride for a shareholder since it was IPO'd. And they had a Q4 update to their business, and it was, according to several analysts, was a mixed bag. So the gross transaction value was beating estimates, but if you look at the underlying figures in their international part of the business, it looks like it's weakening a little bit against the competitors. So there's increased nervousness around how much of it will carry through to the current quarter we're in, the first quarter. And then there's a vaccine news from a French company called Valneva. It's jumping 29% in early trading in Paris on tests showing that its vaccine neutralizes Omicron. Obviously, these biotechnology stocks, they always come out with these headlines. A lot of trading, short-term trading around that, but it's still one is a test, but you have several tests and you scale up the sizes, and some of these results can easily disappear. So I'm always a little bit lukewarm on these headlines, but if you like to trade intraday stuff where there's some energy, Valneva is definitely a choice today. In terms of earnings, slide 8, we have Netflix reporting tonight. We also have in Sweden Sandvik, for those that focus on industrials. And I mentioned industrials because of the PBOC's rate cut that should, in theory, create some more demand for industrials selling into China. So watch out for Sandvik. And if you like technology, Intuitive Surgical, it's an interesting company reporting as well. For Netflix, the focus will be on downloads and the outlook for subscriber growth. It has been there has been a lot of headwinds recently in the past couple of quarters, because we came off very strong global downloads during the lockdowns in the first half of 2020, and it has come down pretty significantly. So there's a lot of noise in the numbers, and I think a lot of investors are a little bit worried about, how is Netflix faring against the competition? Can they continue to add subscribers, especially international? They're hiking prices in the US by 14%. How is that, feeding through on revenue, etc.? And then I've put in a chart as well, a bar chart with the numbers so far in the Q4 on the on NASDAQ, S&P 500, and the MSCI World. And so far, we're slightly down quarter on quarter on quarterly earnings per share. So we're holding up, but the next 2 weeks are going to be super important with all the biggest names in the world reporting. So so stand by for that. I talked enough. Or maybe you could take it away on the macro calendar on slide 9.
Yeah, well, some of them has come out already, but we are on the interest rate front. Norway's bank has been out, and we also are waiting for Turkey to come with their decision later today. Norway, that will be out just by the time this will be released, so it's not there yet. But we're waiting. But the expectation for Norway is to keep rates unchanged. Elsewhere, further down into the trading day, we got Philly Fed survey from the US, always a key interesting one to guide, to see how the business sentiment is holding up, existing home sales as well. And then just two on the energy front, gas weekly storage, and then we got the delayed by a day weekly crude oil and fuel stock report, and that potentially could just add a little bit of some profit taking bias into the market, because the American Petroleum Institute last night reported a stock build last week. If that is confirmed by the EIA later today, that would be the first stock build, I believe, in 2 months. And just adding to the sense that we potentially by now have priced in most of the supporting news that has come into the oil market in streams here for the past months or so, and also the fact that we got pretty close to 90 bucks in Brent, so that's a key psychological level as well. So potentially just some consolidation. I put out a note yesterday just highlighting some of the reasons behind that, but also why the long-term outlook still looks supportive. So So I think that's about it, what we can squeeze out of this podcast today, Peter. So once again, everyone, thank you very much for listening. We will be back again tomorrow, and safe trading out there.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter at Saxo Market Call or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.